You're listening to Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And lots of good topics today.
Of course.
Lutherans around the world joining together for various reasons. Fellowship, encouraging one another. We're going to learn more about that in just a little bit. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. Live uncommon. In studio with us this morning, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison, President of Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. President Harrison, such a joy to have you in studio. Thanks for being on the Coffee Hour this morning.
Hi, guys, but I don't see any coffee.
I have coffee. It doesn't leave my side.
It's because we're recording in another studio
rather than
being in the live studio this morning. The coffee is in the regular studio. I apologize.
That's all right. I wouldn't drink it anyway.
Well, fine.
He doesn't like my coffee.
I will keep drinking mine. The
organic breakfast blend.
Well, I have Zambia today.
You have Zambia today.
Yeah.
The International Lutheran Council recently met for their 2018 World Conference in Belgium. Give us a little background on the International Lutheran Council, the ILC.
Well, the Lutheran World Federation was, LWF, was founded in, I believe, 1947 in Lund, and had another meeting in 52 in Europe. And after that meeting, a number of people who were associated with the Missouri Synod's partner churches and friends around the world met, and they really decided that they should organize themselves. The Lutheran World Federation, from its inception, promoted a fellowship, that is, church fellowship between Reformed and Lutheran churches, and allowed membership to churches that were not specifically Lutheran in their constitution, which is a big problem. That basically is what caused the foundation, the founding of the Missouri Synod as a protest against Lutherans who were joining with others without agreeing in the Word of God. And what that brings is, over time, a total kind of setting aside of the Word of God on many, many issues that are vital to being Lutheran. So anyway, the Missouri Synod partners began getting together, and there was another impetus for it, especially more formally in the early 90s, at the time of Dr. Barry's presidency of the Missouri Synod. And this International Lutheran Council, it had been called various things over time, was formed. It was a kind of an informal organization, meeting every 3 years. Every 3 years, it has a theological kind of seminaries conference so that the seminaries around the world can stay in touch with each other, etc. Well, in recent years, we have been very, very determined to increase the ILC's capacity. Many, many churches turn to the Missouri Synod around the world and her partners, and that is because of our strong confession of the faith. You know, as Lutheran churches in Germany and Scandinavia and the United States have all accepted same-sex marriage and historical criticism and salvation outside of Jesus and all kinds of, and turned kind of the church into a social work sort of network. More and more churches, particularly from the Global South, but not only so, have come to us. You have cases where if anybody refuses women's ordination in Scandinavian state churches, they are defrocked. Pastors are defrocked, thrown out. And these churches have moved and become churches themselves over time, small churches, yet significant. And the ILC has grown into this wonderful church federation. Not all churches in it have church fellowship with each other. There are several different grades of membership, full membership, and then associate membership. And it also now has a new constitution. It is registered as an officially government-recognized non-governmental organization or nonprofit in the United States. Albert Culver is its general secretary. He's also wears a couple of hats. He's the head of church relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, working out of my office. So it's really a great moment. We added a bunch of new members this time in Antwerp, and it was fantastic.
Why is it important for the LCMS to be a member and a partner with other clearly confessing Lutheran churches around the world?
Well, it's a it's a global world, you know, it's local and global at the same time. And so we've just found, as of course everybody's traveling more, we've just found more and more friends around the world. Concordia Publishing House sends out materials that get, you know, get read all over the world. It's one of our greatest missionaries. And our missionaries are out meeting new people all the time. We're getting people asking us to come. And these are people who, in many cases, did not have access to really solid, basic Lutheran teaching and doctrine. In many cases, they have. I mean, we get strange phone calls from, like, Tibet. I mean, emails from Tibet saying, NGO worker for some, you know, Peace Corps or something handed me a catechism several years ago, and we have founded a Lutheran church now.
Wow.
I mean, it's just, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And so we want to associate with the Missouri Synod. It's just really incredible.
Wow.
So it's an opportunity to strengthen ourselves, to learn from others in their very diverse situations, many of them facing serious or have faced serious persecution and martyrdom. Mm-hmm. It's humbling for us, and we can share with them our forte. Everybody wants solid theological education.
Mm-hmm. There are a number of things that happen when the ILC comes together for their world conference. One of those is welcoming new members. Tell us about the new members that joined ILC this year.
Yeah, it was a record number, mm-hmm. I think 17, and that brings the membership into the mid-50s at this point. Mm-hmm. I suspect it'll probably lurch forward again. The largest church joining this time around was the Church of Madagascar, mm-hmm. the Malagasy Lutheran Church. And Madagascar has about four, they don't know for sure because they haven't counted in a long time, it's like 4 or 4.5 million. Lutherans. It's over double the size of the Missouri Synod. And what's even more amazing is that when these Africans count their members, they actually count people who are in church. These people are in church every Sunday. And we added a bunch of new members, the Lutheran Church in Africa, Synod of Benin in the Francophone area, also the Church of Burkina Faso. We added the Lutheran Church Myanmar. We added the Evangelical Lutheran Church Diocese of Finland, the Indonesian Lutheran Christian Church. I think we added that one. It may be pending. Evangelical Lutheran Church of Liberia, which was a mission start of the Missouri Synod, the Malagasy Lutheran Church, which I mentioned, the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese in Norway, Lutheran Mission in Africa, Synod of a Thousand Hills from Rwanda, the Confessional Lutheran Synod of South Africa. I think that's pending. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Sudan and South Sudan, the South Sudan Evangelical Lutheran Church, Ceylon Evangelical Lutheran Church, the Mission Province in Sweden, Lutheran Church of the Republic of China, Taiwan, Lutheran Church of Togo, Lutheran Church of Uganda, the German Evangelical Lutheran Church in the Ukraine, that's pending, and the Lutheran Church in Uruguay.
Wow.
So,
everywhere.
Yeah. What do these church bodies bring to the ILC?
Oh, they bring very diverse histories, very diverse histories and experiences founded by, who knows, that many of them were founded by Dane or Swedish or some Scandinavian missionaries or some German mission society. They might have had influences from all different places around the world or somehow Missouri Synod prof got over there, or some Missouri Synod pastor got over there and worked with them for a while, or a missionary, or here or there. It's just it's very diverse. A lot of these, you know, the larger, older churches were started in the 19th century, similar to the Missouri Synod, mm-hmm. about the same time frame, like the Malagasy Church, probably 1860s by one of the Scandinavian mission societies.
And this new member, this is the Malagasy Church. This has been something they've been working toward for some time now, right?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's a very unique church. Madagascar's population is quite interesting. They do have political tensions, but they don't generally have sort of racial tensions. The population is very unique. About, what, probably 600 or 800 years ago, a number of people from Southeast Asia floated across in their boats and landed on the island, and then mixed with the local population, which had come across the Straits of Mozambique from the mainland in Africa. And so you have people that will look African all the way to people who look very, very Asian. The Asians brought over with them their tradition of worshiping the dead, and that means exhuming the dead bodies regularly, and actually reclothing them, offering sacrifices of food and having these orgiastic feasts. It's really bizarre. And but the Malagasy Church has made it one of its major outreaches to gather people together, sit them down, and then one by one, people go among them and pray for their release from this kind of demonic activity.
Wow.
And it's really, really extraordinary. They've become a huge church and also well-known from the beginning for their tobies, or houses of mercy. Hmm. So they're really an intriguing, very intriguing group. I'll never forget being over there for Reformation Sunday one time, and, you know, three services jam-packed in an enormous church. I mean, 6,000 people on a Sunday going through that church.
Wow.
And everyone standing, by the way, doing the whole liturgy from Bugenhagen's liturgy, one of the Scandinavian mm-hmm. liturgies put together by one of Luther's compatriots, Bugenhagen, who went all over Europe doing this stuff. And the offering, people going up, every single person going up, one by one during the offering and dropping their offering in. That was really pretty cool.
Wow. Thanks be to God.
Yeah. Singing A Mighty Fortress in Malagasy, by the way.
Of course. I want to
Do
hear
you know
that.
It
that
in
cool.
Malagasy?
Do I know? Of course not. I know the tune, though.
Oh, good. Whew.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
We just have under a minute left, but what's it like when the ILC comes together? I mean, common language. Do you face language barriers with partners coming from all over?
We have Doug Rutt is usually mm-hmm. there, who... he usually is one of the translators for Spanish, and mm-hmm. so people wear headsets, so our Central and South American brothers and sisters have the opportunity to listen, and there'll be a few other translators. You have, for instance, the guys from Papua New Guinea were there, and the bishop does not speak such good English, and so you'll have his assistant, a layman there, is a fantastically well-educated guy, translating for him, sitting there, and that goes on throughout. A lot of people, English is the language, a lot of people understand that. And also many of these churches are of Germanic origin, like in mm-hmm. Russia and other places, so if you speak German, they can understand. So you have a lot of, I do a lot of that. We're trying to communicate, somebody can't speak English, I said, well, sprechen Sie Deutsch? And they'll say yes, and then they'll speak to me in German, which I understand pretty well, but I don't speak so well. So they'll speak German, I'll speak English, we'll both understand each other.
Just under a minute left. Anything forthcoming in the coming year with the ILC?
Yeah, the seminaries conference is coming up in the Philippines, I think, within the year, and there's all kinds of interesting stuff going on, partnerships maintained, always just constant invitations, come and visit us, come and visit us, come and visit us. So we're going to be getting around here and there soon.
Thanks be to God. Well, thank you, Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison, President of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks so much for reporting on the ILC for us this morning on the Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me.